meeting order, and we'll start with the invocation and pledge of allegiance from Reverend Thomas Williams.
I asked the mayor a few minutes ago if I could just make a congratulations people on the new building that's being built. I don't know who had a part of it, but I was looking at it the other night, and it's great. In 1971, when I started with Cary Beach with the police department, you're all familiar with the community building? Okay, you familiar with the little room in the side that's 12 foot by 6 foot? That was the police department when I came to work in 1971. And you could literally take your chair, turn it sideways, put the back of the chair against the wall, and your feet on the other end. So y'all have come a long way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you on behalf of all those who are gathered here today, tonight, for doing the things that you do. I thank you for the many blessings that you give us every day. And those that you give us here tonight, I thank you for life itself. I thank you for friendship. Thank you for the ability to be involved in the works of this great town, Cary Beach, that I've known for a long time. Most of us here have. And Lord, thank you for the freedom that is given to us that others don't have in the world. Just being here tonight to help things make things better for the great town of Cary Beach, in which we live and we visit and we love. And the freedom of speech that we have here tonight to voice our opinions on whatever issues might be brought up. So Lord, I pray for our mayor, I pray for the city council, the members, and I pray for all the people who love this great town. And I'm asking that you would grant council members here tonight wisdom to govern, an ear to listen, and personal peace within their decisions, whatever they may be. Lord, I pray for the agenda brought before them tonight. Please give us an assurance of what you would want to have done tonight that will please you and benefit everyone in this great town that we love so much. Above all, I ask you for patience here tonight, for everyone. We're not here to argue tonight. We should never be here to argue. We should be here to listen and to solve whatever problems have come before this great town that we have. This town that you personally, Lord, have given all of us. So Lord, just be with us tonight and let us do things that you want to have done, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Let's stand for the flag presentation, please. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, first item, approval of the consent agenda items. Do I have any input? Any changes to the consent agenda?
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda items pass. Adoption of the agenda. Do I have any changes to the agenda?
Make a motion we approve as presented.
Have a motion?
Second.
And a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the agenda stands as put forward. First item on the agenda is the public hearing. And the public hearing is the proposed amendments to Chapter 19 zoning regarding setbacks. Notice of the public hearing was advertised in the Star News on February 4th, 2018, and in the Island Gazette on February 7th and 14th, 2018. As per North Carolina General Statutes 160A-364, amendments do not change any setbacks, but clarify and bring consistency to the language in all sections and zoning districts that relate the setbacks. So we open a public hearing at this time. Do we have anyone signed up for speaking?
Me.
Okay. Could you hand me the piece of paper?
Oh, this paper?
Yeah.
There's one other person.
Okay, when you start the, please state your name, your address, and to the best of your ability, be as concise as you can within 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay, sure.
Okay?
My name is Linda Brett Kell. I live with my husband Bruce at 434 South 4th Avenue. I came before the Planning and Zoning Committee a couple of weeks ago in regard to setbacks from the back of a lot. My understanding is, and nobody on that committee seemed to know exactly when it changed from 5 feet to 10 feet for any kind of like a shed or a storage building or pergola or whatever you want to put in your backyard. They thought that at some point in the early 2000s, maybe it was changed, but nobody seemed to know why. So I was requesting that we go back to the 5 foot setback. I know that's what Carolina Beach has. They've changed theirs from 10 to 5 due to many factors. Number one, y'all know our lots are not huge on the island, so you don't have a lot of space. Bruce and I had a custom built from scratch. It's not something that, you know, we ordered from Lowe's and they stuck in the backyard, but it was a costly structure. And if we are required to move it, kind of sit in the middle of my backyard. I'm also a realtor, and I know that it's going to definitely reflect in my property value. I had 8 pictures or more of other places on the island who have buildings 5 feet and less. Then I was told, well, maybe those people got grandfathered in, but the attorney at that evening said he didn't like that term grandfathered, and he doesn't know where it came from or how those people got. But both of my neighbors are not 10 feet back. It doesn't bother me. My guy right behind me, is his building, his garage, is probably less than 2 feet, would you say, from my back fence. Doesn't bother me. I'm fine with that. But I'm just asking that we take what was and put it back like it was to 5 feet, because a lot of other people are not in compliance. I don't know what y'all would do about that. It would be, I'm sure, quite costly in manpower to go around in everybody's backyard and measure how far they are. But I'm not the only person on the island and in Curry Beach that has this situation. So I would like for y'all to please consider doing the 5 foot setback, and I think you'll make a lot of Curry Beach people very happy with that.
Okay. We will be,
for me?
We're actually considering your particular case later on in the agenda, new items. So, thank you. April.
Grillo, I was speaking to what she was speaking to, so I don't know if that's something that you want to.
You can make any statement you wish to make.
Okay, I just didn't know if you were doing it now or later. So.
Are you talking specifically to her case?
I want all of the Curry Beach setbacks changed, so.
So, now go ahead up and now's the time to state your position.
Not my whole case. Yeah. I went ahead and printed out Carolina Beach's, when they changed it and what their setbacks rules are, and can email that to you. I only printed out.
Okay.
I only printed
out. We can make. Are these copies for us?
Yeah.
All right,
it's
then.
Just one copy.
But that's all right. Nancy can make sure the rest of us get them.
But what I just wanted to say is I also attended that planning committee. I was in the process of trying to put a pool in my backyard and realized that with the 10 feet setback, there was absolutely no way that it could happen. So they let me know that she was already petitioning, and so I thought I would kind of jump on board. I don't know if I need to add another petition or do anything else, but after going to the planning committee, they were much more inclined to start fining people and start making people follow rules and do that type of stuff rather than kind of really look into the situation and see if it was something that could be changed. And I'm not sure what the reasoning is for changing it, as she stated, but Carolina Beach seemed to have the same exact rules and they were able to change it. I don't think that it's caused any problems or concerns. So I don't really have much else to say except that I support her, and I feel like the moment that you guys go and start enforcing those rules is the moment that this town council meeting gets a lot bigger and you're going to have a lot more people up here complaining about the setbacks. So,
well, so I think there's some a little bit of confusion. So I don't know exactly when they were changed, and we need to find that, so we should figure that out. They've been this way for a pretty long time, as a matter of fact. And I understand the attorney's issue on grandfathering. It's not grandfathering. The ordinances specifically allow non-conforming conditions which exist at the time of adoption to continue. So that's actually in our ordinances. So for your question or your specific issue about there's a lot of people that aren't in compliance, when the ordinance was adopted, part of the adoption said that for non-conforming structures, they're allowed to stay. So that's the answer to that. To the other part, I think the public hearing that we're talking about right now is clearing up some specific issues in the ordinances, but not changing any of the setbacks. So it's not making them more restrictive or less restrictive. The ordinance that P&Z reviewed and that the council is looking at tonight specifically address some language that cleans up the ordinances, but it doesn't change any of the setbacks. So the setbacks aren't being changed tonight. If the council was to do that at any time in the future, there had to be a public hearing before that happened. And I think it would come through P&Z. I know P&Z specifically addressed your issue, which we're talking about later tonight. They made a recommendation, which the council will consider. I think the council would push, at least I would, I don't know what the rest of the council would do, but we would say it for any citizens that want that, they should do the same thing that this man did, which is address P&Z and request them to change it and go through the formal process.
Their request seemed to be that they were completely against it and that we had to come here and that you guys were the ones that would have to go through some type of process to actually make it happen.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure.
Okay, well then when we talk about on the agenda, we should talk through that. I didn't really understand that they had two people asking, at least when I read their...
They did not, she spoke, she did not speak.
Right. And then once council talks about that, we have to talk through, which we will at the meeting, so it's on the agenda in case someone's late, where we are and what to do next, I guess. I'm interested to see your input. And when did Carolina Beach change theirs to 5?
I don't know. I can probably look. I don't know if it's within the last couple of years.
Right. I'm interested in what drove them to change it, actually.
I tried to get as much information, and I can forward the email along, but...
No, I appreciate
it. I didn't really understand what it was thinking.
No, I'm very interested, but I think changing setbacks, either widening them or tightening them, is something that towns do very slowly, for a lot of reasons, right? Because there's a lot of pushes on both sides, right? Everybody wants to build to the wall. Emergency services want to be able to get behind your houses if there's a fire. There's public works has to get through your backyards for our sewer and water system. So there's a lot of reasons why the setbacks are, and towns don't do that very fast. I'm interested to see in Curie Beach how long it's been 10 feet, because I think it's been 10 feet as long as I can remember.
Well, the planning and zoning, and there was a lady here that was taking minutes or something. She thought it was like 2,000 minutes or something.
Can I get
it?
Sure.
It was a long time. It was in the 2000s. It wasn't like 1980.
They mentioned 2003.
The feeling was it might go back to 83. And Nancy was trying to look it up in some documents. She didn't have her, and she was getting it back to us at the next meeting. So she traced it. Couldn't go back that far.
Yes.
I wasn't aware I was supposed to get back to you, but there's a an issue in our code from when it was codified and electronically. It shows a lot of changes in 2003. There were not changes in 2003. I'm not aware that it was ever 5 feet, and it will take you quite a while to go back.
Well, we need to figure that out, but I can tell you that when I moved back, and I grew up here, when I moved back in 96, it was 10 feet because I put a shed on the back of our property in 1996 with my grandfather, and it's 10 feet. So I know it's at least 96. We'll find out exactly what it was. If Granddad was still here, he would probably tell us what it was. And I think Andy can probably figure it out. But it's been 10 feet for a really long time.
Now,
a really long time.
Actually, there is a process to address all of this. We have a 10-foot setback by ordinance. However, there is a process whereby you go request a permit. When you request a permit, compliance officer will usually look at your layout and tell you whether or not it complies. If it doesn't comply, at that point in time, you would normally request a text amendment to P&Z and have the discussion as to why you think for your particular property it should be changed. Now, there is resistance to change for particular properties. There is. I'm not going to tell you it's not an uphill battle, but there is a process. So it is 10. It has been 10. The process is first permit. Then the second process is to take it, if it doesn't comply, and request support. And I think that's really the process we're in right now. And David, I mean, I don't know if you have anything you can add to that. You've been on that longer than I have.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then just like any citizen, at the end it comes to council like you're doing now, right?
Yeah. That,
I mean, that's where it ends up. And then council has to weigh all the issues, right? And we're typically, I mean, I can't speak for the rest of my council, but typically that's pretty slow because council doesn't want to screw it up, right? I mean, there's a lot of the town, when you start changing something like that, you need to understand all the issues. And the issue behind your house is not the same as the issues all through town, because there are, in the old part of town specifically, water and sewer lines that run through the back that if you put buildings there, those buildings, Public Works will rip them down if we have to get through your water sewer line. And if you put a swimming pool there, those water lines will be unburied when you're building your swimming pool. And so the council has to understand, and it takes the department heads a long time to figure that out. Okay, for every property in town, if you just add 5 foot on each side, what does that do all through town? And that's not an easy and fast thing to answer, because while we know pretty much where our lines are, we've gotten a lot better with GIS and all the other stuff. There's still a lot of stuff in town that we have to go look at and like probe and be, you know, find. And so that's why it is a slow process. It has to be a slow process, because if you mess it up, some citizen's unhappy when Public Works shows up one day with a backhoe and moves your building because your neighbors don't have sewer, their sewer's plugged, or they don't have a water line.
Well, somehow Carolina Beach was able to do it.
So. Well, that's why I'm interested. Well, okay, so I don't want to battle our neighbors to the north. But I will say that they have made multiple changes without getting lots of people thinking about it and got themselves in problems before.
Yeah. Well, my question is, and I understand, wheels of justice move slowly. But I'm in a situation, am I going to be fined? I mean, how long, I don't want to have this building moved because it's really going to be a mess. So I don't want to have it moved and then do this long process. Y'all decide, oh, well, okay, no, she didn't have to move it. So if it stays where it is, what's my...
Well,
I mean, I'm going to get fined.
So tonight we will talk about your specific
$75 issue. A week or a day, well, or it was a horrendous amount of money.
So, so tonight you're on the agenda. We'll be talking about your specific issue tonight, and you should get an answer. If it gets delayed, the council would direct the building inspector to hold. But I think the council's going to talk about it.
Okay.
And I think we'll talk about it at that time.
Excellent.
Right? How's
that? Thank you
point
so
of
much.
Information. Mr. Bassett at that meeting said that there'd be no fines until this was resolved.
Exactly right. Okay. Yeah, and the town does that. So if you're in the process, I don't think the town historically has just penalized people while they're waiting for the process.
Thank you.
And if the process comes against you, you are given reasonable time to get it done.
That's right. That's the other part. That's right.
So, any comments on the verbiage changes to the ordinances that did not change the right-of-ways?
Setbacks.
Or the setbacks, excuse me. Because that's what the open meeting is on. Just clarified all the language so they all say the same thing at what has been the historic distances. Any comments?
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. Then just state your name and your address.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. excuse me. My name is Robert Lawler. The address of the property is 629 4th Avenue South, Unit B. My wife and I bought a townhome. It's been it was in July, and we've been looking in the area for about 12 months, and closed in July. In December, we hired a local contractor to build some decks on the back of the house, upper and lower deck, and they worked out fine, got a permit. And while he was there, there was a shower on the side of the house that was built in hot and cold water, that was built by the contractor. It was part of the new construction, and but it was open, and it is a shower. Even has cutoffs, so you can cut it off in the water, or excuse me, in the winter. So we went ahead and put a enclosure around the shower for a little privacy. And in talking with the building inspector, Mr.
Batson.
And talking to the contractor, found out that it wasn't that we couldn't have one. It was that it had to be a lot smaller. And the size we put on there was about 4 feet by 6 feet and 6 feet high. And I've got some pictures here, and we'll show you at the end. I could have one that was 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet high. 4.5 feet high, which is the height, the fence that, that the zoning ordinance, the building ordinance, allows. So, talked to the building inspector, and he says, well, you have two, you know, there's two options. One's a text amendment, which, if I'm not lucky tonight, I'll make the application to that, and also to the Board of Adjustment, which is another body of of the town. But you know, I'm allowed to have one, but it's not, it can't be big enough. So in the letter that you've got, I'm proposing an amendment, which I talked to the building inspector about, and he didn't like it, so I'll just be honest with you. Which was to allow non-permanent structure, which is the enclosure is a non-permanent structure, for reasonable privacy screening, such as outdoor showers, to use new construction or development provider and permitted approved fixtures and accessories. My point is, it was the fixture, the accessory was permitted, but I can't use it. My wife doesn't want to use it. My children don't want to use it without a shower. Now, if you just look on the pictures I provide, I'll be quick. This is the first one, and I numbered them just for my benefit. That's the shower. Now, the townhomes, it's a duplex, and there's two other of these in Fury Beach, one at 325 Fifth Avenue South, and at 225 Third Avenue North. So there's, I'm one of six, at least, and there might be more. And riding around the town, there's other ones that don't have any closure. So, point again, the developer provided it. It's hot and cold, running water. Obviously, it's intended to be a shower, a bathing facility, but I can't, picture number two shows the enclosure. It hadn't been painted yet because this is when we found out that It wasn't allowed, and we would have, if we're not successful, we will take it down at our cost. But that's what it looks like. You can see the 4.5-foot fence. The blue painter's tape on there just indicates how high it can be. That shows how high the enclosure can be for the shower. And if you look at picture 3, looking straight down the side of the building, you can see the blue painter's tape, which shows how high the enclosure could be, and then that X shows how wide it can be. So you can see that there's not much privacy on what I'm allowed to have. The fourth picture just shows me standing next to it, and you can see that it really doesn't provide much privacy. It's not a permanent structure. It doesn't detract from the neighborhood. And last of all, the fifth picture, right next to my house, which is a vacant lot, right next to it is a house with the shower enclosure that looks exactly like mine. Exactly like mine, built in, but it's in the back of the house. Mm-hmm. It's in the back of the house, and the setback is great. Okay, so I'm sitting here showering after going to the beach in the wide open places, and I haven't done this yet. This is just visualizing this. And my neighbor here, you know, he's got this nice shower with the door and everything, and they can do whatever they want to, and everything. So, if you'll consider the amendment that's in the letter, if not, I've talked to the building inspector. He said he'd help me with some language for a text amendment. And if that doesn't work, I'll go to the Board of Adjustment.
Did your contractor get a permit?
We got a permit for the deck, for the decks. And we assumed that since the shower was provided,
it was just the shower fixture itself. The issue then is really what you built around the shower fixture, correct?
Correct. Yeah, no, the shower was built in.
It was intended to rinse off, not go in there and do full shower things.
Well, I mean, you're coming back from the beach with kids, or you know, my wife comes back, you know, she might want to put something else on. So,
Understood.
Thank you.
Evidently, this is... I don't understand the height, though.
It's because it's in the setback.
Because it's in the setback. It's not any higher than the fence.
Setbacks are made...
And the setback in the other picture.
For the protection of your property and...
It's 10 feet.
Your neighbor's property. And so the issue is, right now, there's an empty lot there, but when the house on that empty lot is built, and the fire department has to go between those two properties to get there, with your fence, there's only 1.5 feet, or I guess 2.5 feet, if I can do the math right. Right? He says you extend another 1.5 feet in, so 3.5 feet to pull hoses beside your property, get to either the back of your house or the back of that house that will be between you.
There's 7 or 8 feet from the fence to the house, and what I'm told is I could have 2.5 feet. So that's 4.5 feet.
Yes, 5 foot setback on the side. Mm-hmm. The setback on the sides of a house in Cure Beach are 5 feet. So the fire department has 5 feet to pull hoses around to the back side of the house. And if you're in an air pack pulling hoses, 5 feet's not a lot of room. And that's what the side setback's for. Okay. The same with the back is so that between your houses, in addition to public works getting back there for whatever's running between the lots and Curry Beach, the old part of town, the fire department has 20 feet in behind a house to work hoses and everything when there's a fire. That's what setbacks are for, honestly. Setbacks historically came because houses were built up on each other, and when one house caught on fire, the whole neighborhood burned down. And so towns responded to that by saying, well, we're going to have space between houses. That's what they're for. And I'm a fireman, 22 years as a fireman, and so I'm pretty interested in that because when you have a big fire in a small town, you want to make sure only one house burns, not multiple. And when you need to get back there, you want to have a little bit of room. 5 feet's not a lot of room. So I mean, I understand your point exactly, right? I don't want to shower out in the public that much either. No one wants to see me either. So I certainly understand your point. I think this is one that we should send to P&Z and then work the process on. Because you did a good job writing a text amendment, so I appreciate that. At least you're asking for exactly what you want. And so P&Z can deal with that and then make a recommendation to council. But I think, understand, for all the setback people, setbacks are a concerning issue to your neighbors. In the beginning, they're not. Yeah, I just want to use all my property. I understand that. But when you start thinking about, okay, what are the other things? Why did they come about? Recognize that the history of setbacks are for fire and protection of property. That's what they came from. That's where they came from in the beginning, right? And I think understanding where they came from help you understand where we are, right? I'm not opposed to any changes that anybody thinks about, but the pluses and minuses for it, I think, is the issue. And that's what I expect P&Z to do when it goes to them. And then council's got to figure out what to do to satisfy all the different issues around it. I'm sorry for babbling so much.
Just one thing that I would mention, Mr. Lawler, and I don't know if you've taken a look at it, but it would seem to me that putting a ladder in there between the fence and there, you would have a hard time hitting your second-story building.
I'm sorry, what?
You might have a hard time getting the ladder to reach into the second-story building before it's obstructed by your shower.
You mean for a fireman?
For a fireman, or for yourself, or for your family.
Well, I mean, I understand.
Just as a point. Right. It just looks like it to me that its placement could interfere with the ladder there.
Well, any suggestions on the design would be appreciated.
Great. Thank you.
So we want to refer this to P&Z, correct?
Yes. Yes. We're going to have... you are welcome to take this to P&Z with your requested text amendment and get the P&Z opinion, and they will give us an opinion.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Busy March P&Z meeting.
Okay. Any other comments for the public hearing?
Thank you.
Public hearing is closed. Okay.
Is there a motion on that?
I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Yeah, I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There
you go. Okay. Back to the regular meeting. Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. We've done that. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community center committee. Marketing committee. Planning and Zoning Committee.
Just when we get to that next piece.
Okay. Non-town committee reports. None tonight. Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee. Chairman Dennis, welcome.
Thank you.
Mayor, commissioners. I'd just like to present on behalf of the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee our proposal for new beach access signs. Nancy, I think, has it. Does it work?
Dennis and his committee put a lot of work into this.
Yeah.
Proposal to committee, not signed.
Signed proposal.
You have a turn it on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go on the slide.
The slide fix.
So the proposal for new beach access signs arose about 2 years ago when the committee was looking at all of the signs at all of the access points and doing inventory to see if we were consistent with signs. Obviously there over the years have been complaints about dogs on the beach and fireworks and a variety of other things. And signs occasionally get vandalized or misplaced or just worn and become unreadable due to the elements. So we did the inventory, and as we were doing that, we said, you know, we can make these signs look a lot better. So we undertook a project to see if we could redesign the signs. And we took as a model some of the work that had been done in Carolina Beach. They had put up some signs at each of their access points. So just to give you a, I'm not sure which is the...
The arrow?
Okay, got it. No. Okay.
New building blues.
Is the light on?
No, it's not.
Batteries? There you go.
All right, well, I don't know if we're going to change it. This is just an example. It's kind of small. I guess we're on big screens here. But this is E Avenue. You can see there are a number of signs. There's beach rules and regulations. There's no dogs on the beach. There's a rip current sign. And they're spread around the parking lot and the access walkway. We can get the next one. Oops.
Wrong way.
This is at K Avenue and along Atlantic, and there the signs have been put up on a board, so they're consolidated. Again, I think it's a better presentation, easier for people to see when they come onto the beach. But again, it's getting worn in the elements. It's a rough environment, and these signs get beat up pretty bad. John, can you do the next one over? Thank you very much. So what we put together is a single sign that would go up at each of the access points. It would be framed on 6x6 timber, pressure treated timber, and we would be putting these up with all of the various beach rules and regulations and other information that is currently spread around. Town Council has seen this. The only change to this is the flag signals. Thank you very much. We have eliminated the purple flag. I guess according to Chief Kennedy and the lifeguards, we have no dangerous marine life in Kerry Beach. Okay. So we don't ever have to warn people about dangerous marine life.
You guarantee
that? No, I think so. I've never seen anything out there, right? No one's ever seen anything. But that's just to be consistent with our current brochures and our current signs and our current flag protocol. And I think it's fine. There would be some changes individualized at each of the access points for handicap. We have, and I guess this, I need to double check this because I've been going through again each of the access points. Truly ADA handicapped accessible ramps. I think we only have four of those in town.
Do you count two at K? Is that why you said four?
I count one at K, E,
H.
I can't read it from here. Those are all.
E, H, and L.
E,
K,
and L.
E, H, and E, H.
Right. Yeah. So N's got that,
it's got the ramp.
That vehicle ramp, but I don't think it technically counts.
Yeah, it's got the Hatteras ramps.
Right. Yeah, I don't sure think those count. Davis Beach Road does too, but I don't think those are allowed to actually count. Fancy.
But we can double check to make sure if they are or they are not. But we would just modify the sign at each access point to either say it's handicapped accessible or indicate where there is a handicapped accessible ramp for a wheelchair, for instance, or for any other disabled individual who needs to get in. We also chose to be fairly straightforward with some of the things that have been hot points in town over the years, particularly no dogs on the beach. So rather than just listing it with all of beach rules, we have a separate sign listing the rules in Curie Beach to distinguish us from Carolina Beach. Other than that, I think everyone has seen it. Our police chief has looked at it, our fire chief has looked at it, town council has looked at it. I'm certainly open to anyone who has any suggestions. We haven't finalized this yet. We haven't signed a contract, but we're proposing to put this in before Memorial Day weekend.
And how tall is it? I'm sure you said
it is 3x4. If you go all the way to the very top of the thing, 3x3.5 to the
how tall will it be on the posts?
That would be the highest right? point. The highest
That's
point.
Pretty close to that big then, right? That's about 3 feet, maybe, right?
Yeah, it's three feet wide, 4 feet high. That would be the highest point. Be mounted probably about 4 feet off the ground, so it might be 7 to 8 feet high.
Right. That's fine. Perfect. So it's wooden frame that we're getting rid of four other signs.
It's a wooden frame, and we will position it close to the access point, close and as reasonable to the access
point. No plants or anything overnight?
It must be removed from the beach between 7 p.m. and 8 a.m.
Yeah,
it's on there. It looks really nice.
Yeah, we made the rules as simple as possible, but comply with what our regulations are, and to make them straightforward. We didn't sugarcoat them.
No.
Yeah,
it's good. Awesome. So, I assume 452 is really 458 in the bottom left corner for the town hall funnel.
Typo?
I think so. Yeah.
458.
Yeah. Sorry. I think it looks awesome. You guys did a good job.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it still removable?
I've got a bit more.
More?
All right. I can't get this to go anywhere here.
What about turtle mist?
Oops, sorry. Did you want to look at something, Nancy?
No.
Oh, okay. These were just in a larger size so you could see it. The beach rules, if anyone had any questions, but we can move on from there.
Is it still going to be in sections where you can remove the sections for?
I'll show you that in a second. Okay. Yeah. The sections, John, please, I'm sorry, again, I don't seem to be able to get this.
The light is on.
It is on, but I don't seem to be. I've pushed every button that's here. These are the locations that we're proposing initially. It would be every access point on Atlantic Avenue, and then each of the parking lots along South Fort Fisher Boulevard. And if we have enough in our budget, all the way down to the parking lot at the end of South Fort Fisher, just before we get to the fort itself.
Davis Beach Road, since that's a public access too?
We did not put Davis Road here, only because it's a vehicle access point.
Okay.
And we have limited budget.
Okay.
I was going to show you the budget, but you can get to that.
I just think that, a lot of people walk that in this. So I think I understand the budget and I appreciate your view of that. So does Arlen, right? But I think if we're going to put signs, it should be all public access points, and Davis Road is a public access point.
We don't have it at every public. We have many more public access points, which are just ramps that go between homes or various other areas.
And they don't have signs on them?
They all have signs. Right. But we're not proposing to put these new signs at every access point.
Just parking accesses is where?
Right now, just the parking and along Atlantic Avenue.
Okay, I'm sure.
All along Atlantic Avenue. Okay. That's where they were. We would propose to put in next year's budget. We didn't really have a good sense of what the total cost would be until we really got into depth. And so for the 17-18 budget, which is, I think, $5,300 for the committee this year, we try to stay within that budget.
Okay.
Unit price for each sign is $240 to $295. Joseph, this is if we do a single panel, a 3x4 panel, that would be $240 per panel. If we cut it up into multi-panels, that's $295. The advantage of multiple panels is that if you change the regulations or we change anything, we can change a single
fading
panel.
Damage, anything at all?
Damage or anything else that we want to do over the years. We can paper over the sign. We can put decals, but it doesn't look as good in
it.
So I think the multi-panel sign is the preferred. I spoke with Public Works. Their estimate is $100 for materials to put put the signs in. That's the pressure-treated timber. So if we look at that, the total price would be $5,530 for 14 signs. Again, our budget was $5,300. If we eliminate one sign, and we could propose to eliminate the sign down at Fort Fisher, the last parking lot, which is on the west side of South Fort Fisher, not on the beach access side, and just do 13 signs this year, that would come within the budget of $5,135. It's up to the town council if you want to give us some leeway, or if we could put into next year's budget and put more signs up next year.
Comments, gentlemen?
Awesome work.
The dance and all does look good.
Yeah, good work.
Sorry?
I said good work.
Very, very nice work. Thank you and the council. So, gentlemen, do I have a motion for 13 signs for Dennis to go ahead?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
You got it, Dennis. Thank you very much. Nice job to you and the council and your team.
Nancy, I don't know, do we want to, your agenda works here, if we want to talk about the Dow Chemical, the signs that we were charged with?
I was going to bring that up. Y'all did work on the terminology. We had referred it to see what the best terminology would be. We're going to have the five signs. So I think we agreed on the outside signs that will face.
I have a little.
Do you have it here?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Keep going. Oh. Well, people would rather see than hear me talk, I'm sure.
I took a little liberty here. And there is a spelling error somewhere in this presentation, so you
play that and see if we can
play a game, see if we can find it.
Yeah, didn't get picked up. Can you go back? Well, okay. So what we were charged with was saying that we would put up five signs. We would have signs at the northmost 200 yards north of the edge of the hazard, and 200 yards south. These would be facing north and south. What we proposed was to put up a yellow caution sign indicating we have dangerous underwater hazard. We can either indicate the distance to the hazard or not. We can leave. It's up to whatever the council feels like. But these would be a caution. 18 by 18 is the largest sign we can put up on a 4x4 post. If we go higher than that, we've got to go to CAMA for an exception and put in something larger than that. Nancy, the next one, if you could. Okay, on either side of the hazard itself, we could, again, do up to 18, so we're proposing a 12 by 18 facing east and west. And it would just say, warning, dangerous underwater hazard. The committee decided we weren't going to put no swimming up, because that's what I thought I heard, but then I looked at my notes, and I think it was unclear whether we were actually going to say no swimming.
I think in the past we had swimming prohibited, and we were advised that that's not necessarily something we can do. Is that right, Andy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's a consensus from the people that live there. They did not want no swimming.
Yeah.
People that reached out to us.
So is the proper word swim at your own risk? Or?
Yeah. Swim at your own risk.
Yeah.
You've advised them.
Yep.
Because we're taking no ownership of it whatsoever.
Do you think that swim at your own risk is something that should be on the sign? Or
just leave it blank?
Or a warning.
Or just a warning.
Or do you think warning dangerous underwater hazard is enough with that sign?
We tell them where it is, within 200 feet on each sign facing in one specific direction. Then when you're on the beach, you would see this sign, north and south, because you're walking on the beach.
Is the chief still here?
Yeah, and you had a phone call.
Oh, did you? I was just going to ask him what the lifeguards did. I think they tell people no swimming, but I'm not sure. That's why I was going to ask him. When the lifeguards are staffed, I think they tell people not to swim there, but I'm not 100% positive.
I know we have the lifeguard station at that point,
right.
But if we are light, a lifeguard or two, that is a station, because we don't want swimming there, that we normally would pull a lifeguard from.
Right. So for that actually at the border of the hazard, we would just basically have what we have here. Instead of saying next 200 yards, we could have the signs say 25 yards or 50 yards or whatever you want to put in there.
It should be warning, not caution, right at the hazard, I think.
That's the questions
about the
speed. Well, it was kind of a ramp up warning, warning, caution, danger in the middle.
Okay.
So.
That's caution. Those are the far.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
and I think the yellow actually stands out better.
Yeah.
If you're gonna see it, and then at the hazard itself, we would have this.
Right.
And then on the access point, danger. This would be on the access walkway leading to the beach. Swimming hazard near this beach location. Please observe warning signs.
Did you want to ask it a question?
Yeah, I apologize. I was out for a second.
That's okay.
Do the lifeguards around that hazard that we're talking about, do they like tell people not to swim there?
Yeah, and
they blow the whistle and get them out.
Yeah, right. The problem is you get people that get in 200 yards down the beach, right. Depending on which way the current's going, they'll have to whistle them out. Of course, they whistle them out way ahead of time. And a lot of times when they whistle them, they have no clue why they're being whistled out, even though there's plenty of signs on the beach. And a lot of the people actually walk down that walkway as well. So, yes, they do, to answer your question. And the guard station is directly in front of the hazard as well.
I guess the next question would be, should the entire sign be red when the other signs are just captioned in a color? Like danger, the top half of the sign, and then maybe the letters in red.
I'm talking to
Cass's opinion of the sign.
That'd be consistent with the other sign.
Yeah. You mean what I was suggesting?
Yes.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, gentlemen? Because this sign is going to be, you're walking down the ramp.
Yeah. Right there at the access point.
Yeah, I think it's smart to tell people to observe warning signs so they look for them. That was one we didn't think about. That's good.
Okay. Well, there's a proposal here on the table. You want to keep no swimming?
If we're having lifeguards run them off, we should say no swimming. I mean, because that's what we're doing in practice. I think.
3 months out of the year.
Okay, well, whenever they're there. I mean, if people, telling people no swimming doesn't stop them from doing it, but at least when they're hurt and call the fire department, show up, they told you not to swim. I mean, people are going to swim where they want to, whatever the signs say, but I think telling people not to swim there at least helps them out.
Look, the truth of the matter is we just have to be consistent and direct,
right.
And I'm kind of reversing myself a little bit. I think these signs are fine.
So do I.
Anybody else? Anybody have a comment on the signs? How about
make a motion we put these signs and have public works installed as soon as received?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Another nice job, Dennis. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
You got there before we did.
Anything to work on.
No more signs?
No more signs.
We'll find something.
Next section, discussion and consideration of department head business. Administration, recreation, have anything tonight? Sorry?
No.
Oh, you said no? I thought you said yes. Sorry. Finance department?
I just have one thing.
Okay.
I think it's in your agenda package. There's two different charts that were the result of our council retreat.
Mm-hmm.
To provide information regarding how property tax dollars are spent and also the room occupancy tax. Really just looking for any further direction. I mean, there was some correspondence, I guess, being emailed over the last couple of weeks, taking into account the different suggestions. And just wondered if there's any other feedback that anybody has, and then how we want to proceed, where we want to use this information.
So one, excellent job, right? I think hopefully council had a good sense of where this was when you're doing the budget process, but I think it's something that should go on the website. I mean, I think it's important. I don't know if Nancy's going to be able to show it. I guess she's not.
I can put it up there if you want.
I think it's valuable for people to see.
Yeah,
right?
I think it'd be worthwhile for the audience to see.
Harlan's just being nice.
Yeah.
The secret touch.
Yeah. So, at our retreat, which you can listen to online if you're really interested, the council talked about the fact that, okay, we were talking about finance, and one of the things we thought was important was for an easy to show thing for the citizens on where the money goes, right? Where does my tax dollar go, right? And so basically we asked the finance director to take our budget and break it up. So, you know, if you paid $100, $18 went to the fire department, $33 went to the police department.
Take a look at it, pass it around.
If you pay $1,000, then just do the math, right? So you can do that. And, I think it's valuable to show from the standpoint of, at least in the council's mind as we discussed it, we want to make sure the citizens understand, one, where their money's going, and two, so they can evaluate, are we getting our value or not, right? Because really that's what council tries to do when we make budgets, is to provide value for your tax dollars. I mean, we're spending your money, our money too, but your money mostly. We only pay a little bit. We get a little bit of it back. And so I think it's very important as a citizen of the town that you can see where your money's going, and then you can tell us, okay, you're doing a good job or you're not doing a good job. And so Arlen did an excellent job of doing that, and hopefully you can find it here in just a second. I'll keep filling time. But I think it really came up when we talked about room occupancy tax and beach renourishment, because I don't think everyone realizes that no tax dollars from Curry Beach go to beach renourishment. In the history of the town, none of your tax dollars have went to beach renourishment. And when we started talking about that as council, it became something that I was like, I want to make sure people understand that. Because there's some people that think, well, you know, I mean, what are my tax dollars really good for? But you got it because I'm plugging mine. I have the one that gave us up.
I mean, you're right. We need our guests. We really do need our guests. Their heads on beds pay for a lot of the activities that we all enjoy on the beach. And that'll be demonstrated here quite shortly.
Very good. Cool. Nice job.
And we need them parking correctly.
Yeah, there you go. And so Arlen made these two graphics, which I would propose we put on the website.
I like that.
This is the first one. This one is your tax dollar, so this is your property tax. So I'll let Arlen talk it because he made it.
And what I actually did, I looked at all of our revenue and where expenses were by department, and subtracted out any revenue that's specific to a department. So what I mean by that is, let's take streets and sanitation. Well, everybody pays a garbage collection fee, recycling fee. So those amounts were kind of subtracted out. To get this down to the point, it's where really are the tax dollars, where are your property tax dollars being spent? So as you can see, I mean, a significant portion, as we'd expect, is in public safety between police and fire. And then also you really can count streets and sanitation, probably to a certain degree of public safety also. So that's where the bulk of the funds or property tax dollars are spent. After that, some other debt service, so that's payment back of loans that we borrowed for various capital projects. This really also is looking at 1 year, how we used our tax dollars just for the last fiscal year. So in that fiscal year, we also transferred some funds to the capital projects, which is the fire station and town hall project.
I do think it's important to say also, Arlen, that the debt service is way below what is mandated by the state.
Right.
So these, I'd like them to know that the fiscal responsibility of the town under your guidance has been tremendous.
Right. We maintain our debt levels at very manageable levels. So, and then it follows around with some other categories where some tax dollars are spent. There's a category up there, other, the legal expenses, our tax collection fees that we paid in New Hanover County, community center expenses, committee expenses, as we just heard about the peach signs. So I don't know if anyone has any questions, but it, I think hopefully very, you know, clearly shows how tax dollars are spent.
I think we should put it on the website.
I agree.
Yeah, I think we have a consensus.
And this was the more interesting one, I think.
Yeah.
So this one is where the room occupancy tax goes. So this is what's paid by tourists that actually stay overnight in Kiri Beach.
What is the total value of this?
What kind of put this?
$330,000 a year, I think.
Well, it would be more than that. The total value of it, just Kiri Beach portion, is probably about, off the top of my head, maybe
$850,000.
So this shows basically, tourists, to put it on, how is $1 allocated out? This is really looking over a three-year period, fiscal years 2015 to 17. Room occupancy tax is really divided into two parts. They're called the first 3% and the second 3%. So the first 3%, 60% of that goes to the Beach Nourishment Fund countywide. The other 40% of that goes to countywide promotions. Then the second 3%, half of it goes to Kiri Beach promotions. And then the other 50% of that goes to what's considered tourism-related activities. So we actually make requests to the Tourism Development Authority to kind of get our own money back, but we have to show that we use this money for tourism-related activities. So the bulk of what we use it for is lifeguard expenses. So when you look at the lifeguards out on the beach, it's 100% paid for by the room occupancy tax. No lifeguard expense comes out of your tax dollars. In addition to a couple other things, some of the activities at the Oceanfront Park, some of the maintenance that's performed on the Oceanfront Park. And then we also contribute toward the summer concerts that the Chamber of Commerce sponsors here at Fort Fisher. So part of it goes to pay for that also.
And so this one, first, I'd like to work on this one a little bit with Arlen, because I don't think it tells the message that I think we want it to tell. And for the audience, I'll editorialize a little bit, so forgive me. If you disagree with me, that's fine, and I'll be glad to talk to you afterwards. First off, the first half, so he says the first 3%, Kiri Beach Council cannot impact that at all. It's by state statute. That 30 cent in the upper blue, that's the one we like. That pays for sand, we like that. The 20% in the yellow, my editorialize is I hate that when they passed a law, they built in marketing money, but that's what they did. And the reason the legislature did that, in my opinion, is because the lobbyists said, well, if you're gonna charge tourists, we wanna make sure we're business people, you gotta help us out. So that's what they did. So they embedded in the law that 20% has to go for marketing. That was the first half. Then the smart people before all of us that said, hey, Beecher Nurse is gonna be really expensive. We need more than what this is gonna do. Went back to the legislature and passed the second half. That would be the gray, orange, blue, and green. That's the second half of the 3%. And that again, the lobbyists, now instead of getting 40% of it, they got 50%. But they said it has to be spent in the town. So that orange, all the council does with that is we have a marketing committee that we're required by the legislature to have, and they bring us proposals to spend that money to market, and we basically pass them. And past councils have tried to keep some of that money to the side, but it's really by the legislature designated to market. So that 25 cent goes to marketing and the council can't do anything. That leaves the last 25 cents. And what the council is allowed to do with that is we could spend it for sand, or we could spend it for anything that the town has to spend to deal with tourists, basically, right? So we can't spend it on anything else. But if we said we need an extra police officer just for tourists, we could pay for that police officer. What the town has historically done with that is put a little bit of the sand at times, but most of the time it pays for lifeguards, and you can see the activities for the Oceanfront Park and the summer concerts. There have been past people on council, including me, maybe me the most vocal, that says that we should be pushing the legislature to move more of that to sand. If it ever gets to the point where the federal and state governments are supporting beach renourishment, which they talk about all the time, we would definitely do that. We talked with our the lobbyists for the beach renourishment fund, which we don't call beach renourishment anymore.
Storm damage reduction.
Yeah, I don't know the new name because I'm old and can't change very easily. But you know, we would definitely advocate. We have lobbyists at the federal and state level making sure that we have support for coastal stormwater damage reduction projects. Did I get it right? Close, yeah. And if it ever got where that money is in jeopardy, a beach renourishment project or coastal stormwater damage reduction project costs about $6 million every 3 years. We obviously couldn't finance that from property taxes. So this one's one that I think citizens should understand. And if we ever come to you and you get a letter saying, call your legislature, you should do that. Because that's a lot of money and we're a small town. And if we don't have help from bigger entities, we would have to do something different. This fund, by the way, is very healthy in the short term. So because this was set up by the county 30 years ago, something like that, that sand, the blue, has built up over time. So for New Hanover County, I think right now it's about $35 million, which will pay for three renourishments if no one helped.
Or
which
one is, for each beach.
That's right. Yeah, which is only like, you know, 6 years. So we want to pay attention to it. I'm not saying you should do anything now, but if the council ever writes you a letter to call your legislature, that would be the time to actually do that.
Right. You could actually divide that $6 million by 2,000 structures and get an idea what that would cost if we had to finance it, right?
Yeah.
So, but this number is specific to what we bring in. This is what we get from our businesses and from our owners who have, I call them mini motels. Riceville has more. Carolina Beach has more. They have more hotels. They have some more expensive properties. But this is how we handle ours. They live with the same percentages. So this is legislated. This is what we do. We just have to be creative on how we use it to the benefit of the citizens. Yes?
The VRBOs also paid?
Yes, sir.
Are supposed to?
Yes, yeah. They're supposed to. And last year we did a very rigorous job of identifying every VRBO sign in town and telling them they could either get on the rolls or we'll add them to the rolls and then somebody can talk to them about it. We went from 98 to 398 properties. So we will continue to watch that. And with your help, if you see people that you know are renting and are
not advertising,
or even are advertising, or you question, just let us know. We'll check and we'll send them a letter.
Short term, right?
What's
yes,
that?
Short term.
Just short
term. Short term, yeah, it's only short term. Yeah. Which is anything less than 30 days. Okay.
want to avoid the tax rip if they work with.
Yeah, so can we bring this one back to you? Because I'd like to work on the messaging a little bit before we put it on the website.
I could put the orange and yellow together, and it'll tell you how much gets spent on promotions.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I figured that's where you were going.
We'll move it around and bring it back to council before we put it on the website. Because I want to make sure the message is clear to our citizens about what council can control and what we just accept. It's just the way it is.
Any comments? I mean, I don't always do that, but any comments from the audience? Okay. All right, so we'll table this then until you come back with the revisions.
We'll have a case tomorrow.
All right. Arlen, thank you. I learned more looking at that than I knew. Building department.
Jones and Everdeen.
Okay. Police department.
He had to step out. He said he had nothing.
He didn't have anything tonight? Other than a report that was in the original agenda. Public Works department. Costs of free bulk trash pickup.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of things.
Okay. Jimmy?
One thing is the smoke testing is going to be complete by tomorrow. I know it's been a pain, but I appreciate your help and all. Something had to be done. Also, the free pickup is supposed to be, it used to start out being like a day, 2 days. Now all of a sudden it's turned into 6 days. It's gotten extremely costly.
What are you speaking about, Jimmy? The April or what?
Yeah, the free pickup week that we do every year for citizens.
Okay.
You know, I crunched some numbers together and just wanted the council to be aware of actually how much it's really costing.
Okay. Let us have it.
Yeah, by all means. Well, you know, just for dumpsters and miscellaneous and brush and everything, we've hauled out of here 84.15 tons last year.
84 tons of debris.
84 tons of debris.
In that 1 week.
And yes, 6 days. Because it starts out on Monday and it winds up on Monday night.
How many truckloads is that?
I didn't actually break it down as far as truckloads. I know we had to get outside help this year from Bledsoe and his dump trucks to...
Dump trucks?
Yes. You know, because we really have nowhere to store brush anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
5 tons.
And we have to haul it off, and the only way we haul it off is with a garbage truck.
So a 5-ton dump truck, which is...
Yes. I mean, we hired
that's
him for like...
That's 10. That's almost 20 of them.
Yeah, we hired him like 3 days last year, you know. So the total cost of dumping, hauling, picking up trash, town labor, not counting gas, wear and tear on the vehicles, run around $25,000.
That includes the fee for the dumping?
That includes the fee for the dumping, yeah.
$25,000. Mm-hmm. What was it the previous years, Jim?
A lot less. It was less. I know I've been here 10 years and it's progressively gotten worse and worse and worse. So I'm just asking councils, you know, some recommendations of how we can deal with this year, you know, because it's coming up and what, next month or 2 months from now?
April.
Yeah, April.
Yeah, so, you know, we need to kind of set some kind of guidelines.
Okay, 84 tons of material is, that's a lot of material.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the intent was not for people to rip down trees and
well,
put it out
it's
and
turned into renovations. Yeah. You know, it's turned into
people bringing stuff
landscaping
that live in town and bringing it to Curry Beach and leaving it in the yard.
Yeah,
so
I've actually
picked
seen
up by Curry Beach.
Across the bridge.
I've seen people do that. Unload stuff from a truck and put it in front of their property at Curry Beach.
If you could, I mean, unless you guys have ideas, I would like recommendations from you that say what are the things that are running that cost up so significantly, and then we can determine if there's any action that we need to take, if we want to take any action at all.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you want to say yard debris is a big problem, or furniture, or cut trees.
The thing is, it's, you know, it's supposed to be a spring cleaning, not spring remodeling or spring landscaping or anything like that. You know, I think we should set some kind of limits of how much yard debris that you can possibly get. No construction at all. You know, I mean, I can see an old swing set or something like that being torn down.
Disassembled.
Yes, exactly. You know, but I say eliminate the construction work.
Construction, so construction guys remodeling, put out like
people do
rug.
Something in their home, yeah.
Yeah,
they
ripping
put out,
out
rugs.
Carpets, tearing out cabinets, sheetrock,
sheet
tearing
rock,
down decks.
Everything. They just put it out on the curb for
absolutely.
You to take it away.
Yes.
For free.
For free.
Well, no, not for free,
free
yeah. At the cost,
well, at the cost, of
at
the
the
tax,
cost to these
the
taxpayers.
Exactly.
But the original intent was more for yard debris.
Right, yeah, just, you know, a little spring cleaning,
yeah.
You know. But, yeah, I just want to bring that to council.
And stuff should be disassembled, frankly, so these guys aren't lifting massive.
Well, when we left it with back hose. Gotten rid of that much.
I mean, that right there, that's that, to me, defines a problem.
Yeah, there's not a good solution. So I was always against the free pickup because it's not free. And basically, if you could fit it in that week, your neighbors subsidize you doing whatever you want.
Right.
Jimmy's highlighting the problem. I mean, every year council talks about this, and I say we shouldn't do this at all. Because on Thursdays, you can pay and get picked up if you want to get picked up, right? You call Public Works, or even if you don't call, they'll see it and come by, and then you get charged, right? And so, you know, but past councils, which I understand, because lots of citizens like it, have pushed back that, no, this is what we want to do. I understand that, right? But I think, like I've always told council about everything, we should make the users of a service as much as you can pay for the service, not everybody, right? So the water bill is tiered so that high users are paid for it. The trash is tiered now so that, you know, your second can costs more than your first can because you're driving up the cost. This is exactly the same thing. The town has a system where all the rest of the year for 51 weeks, if you want, you have debris that you want picked up, Public Works charges you by the
quarter truckload,
right?
Right.
And it, I don't know, it's like 25,
yeah,
50 or something. I know I pay my $50
yeah,
whenever
right.
I do it. And I think, you know, he's just highlighting we've creeped into this huge cost now.
Mm-hmm.
When it was one day, you know, or 2 days,
yeah.
But now a whole week in April,
yeah,
three guys are running around and now we're getting contractors.
And
we're
renting trucks. And
and if people are bringing stuff in from out of town, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I mean,
that just goes
I don't
want to
police people, but that's just unbelievable.
It just goes to prove that service without cost has an infinite demand.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
So,
if we're going to cancel it, we need to tell people now because there's people already planning that.
Right.
So, yeah. And if we're going to limit it, if we're going to limit it to say, you know, you can't do more than a quarter of a truck without.
We should limit the construction material.
I think
we
need to take the construction stuff.
Yeah, that's got
to
go.
Then we need to communicate that very well because I don't want Public Works to be the bad guys. I mean, he's telling us a problem, but
yeah.
We have to be the bad guys.
We should, but I would. Jimmy, if you could just give us an idea of what the largest problems are associated with this, like construction debris and things like that.
Right, well, what
sofas.
I've seen in the last few years has been mainly the construction, you know, and then people coming in and just teetotally wiping out trees, you know, that's been there for years just because we can get it hauled off for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it's mainly the landscaping. And the construction.
Well, then, I mean, we could construction materials and trees, fresh cut trees,
well,
or trees, or and if there's any other thing that should be considered, because we cannot do 84 tons. I mean,
well, we
I hate to take away. I hate to take away stuff, but I don't want the people to pay $25,000 because people are.
Abusing
what was viewed as a very pleasant. Useful item for the town.
Well, so we got to have a clear message. We got to communicate really well, and then
we're
going to end up picking it up anyway. And what's going to happen is Public Works going to send bills to people,
right?
And they're going to be unhappy because they're going to put it out.
Yeah.
So we're going to have, which I'm fine with, I'll be glad to be the bad guy at the May meeting, because people are going to come in with these bills and they're going to be very upset. Because we're not going to leave it on the side of the road. We will pick it up. And we'll just bill people. And then when they get the bills, first they'll call Nancy and Robin, and then they'll eventually come to council, I guess.
How many meetings before collection? Do you know?
March.
One.
That's it.
One.
March. So it would have to be very rapidly. I mean, an email sent out.
If you, Jimmy, if you just give us an idea on what the things ought to be, maybe limitations, we'll get it around. Nancy will get it around to the council, and we'll get inputs and see if we can't get something done here quickly and get something communicated.
I'll work with Jimmy and bring something back to the meeting.
Thank you.
All right. And also one more thing. The 1,004 and a half walkway we're talking about having ADA.
Yes.
I'm still dealing with the engineer. We've got the whole CAM. I guess we're going to get John Bassin involved since he's the CAM officer. And more than likely, we're going to have to get it surveyed. We're in the process of shooting elevations and stuff now. And I'll get the information back to the engineer, and we'll take it from there. So right now, it's really kind of like, you know, we're limited to what we can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Access.
Steve, you have a picture of what Carolina Beach just built next.
Yeah.
Right?
When I proposed it initially, Carolina Beach had rebuilt their access at Alabama, but they had not included a handicap ramp.
Right, yeah.
The ramp is in now.
Right.
So,
on one end, but it's not on the ocean end. It's,
I took a picture of it today.
It's steps on the ocean side of it?
Steps are on the south side, the ramp is on the north side, just like it was previously.
Right.
So it's brand new.
Yeah, I was up there like a week or so ago, and I seen they had been doing some kind of work on it, but
it's in there.
Right. But I'm just letting you guys know, you know, that we have to work in our parameters.
No, I understand that. I was just curious as to, I wonder what CAM approvals they have received, and if not to, just maybe they have some type of fast track.
Right, well, you know, I got one email, and it said we can go no further toward the water from the toe of the dunes. So.
Okay. Hmm. They definitely are further than that.
Yes.
And that was from CAM?
Yes.
That'd be a good drive tomorrow.
that access, they have a switchback in that access.
Right.
No.
Not now?
No switchback.
Now it's just straight?
Straight.
North, heading north.
Straight going north.
Okay, well, still,
it's still long.
It doesn't go beyond. Because
yeah.
Right.
Heads north instead of right. East. And we'd be going east, unless we put a turn in there. And then we wouldn't necessarily be on our own, I don't think. Okay. All right. We need to look at it. Thanks, Jimmy.
Right.
It's more complex than anticipated, of
yes.
course.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Nancy.
Is that staying on the agenda for next month?
Before that?
Yes. Discussion and consideration of old business.
Bill's going to speak for P&Z now, right?
Yeah. P&Z recommended amendments on setbacks. Bill?
I'm Bill Moore. I'm the second chair of the P&Z committee, vice chair of the term is. Basically, the zoning changes that we're asking is strictly clearing up language. You know, it's making it consistent, because one place you say backyard, the other place is rear, and things like this. So it doesn't change a thing as far as anything's going on, as far as the rules of the town. It just simply makes the language consistent through the entire chapter. And that's all it does.
Okay.
Nancy, you wrote in here how we have to make these motions in these plans, so you can do them right. I have it in old business. Do we have to read the 5 pages of this, or?
No, you can just make a motion to adopt resolution 18-01 and the consistency statement 18-01 as presented.
Okay.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 1801 and consistency statement 1801 as presented.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Pass. Item number 2. Pickleball petition. I believe you have a pickleball paddler, Mr. Wick, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Jimmy, can you tell us what we found out?
Yes, sir. I got in touch with Court One, and they sent me an estimate. I think I sent you guys an email on the price and all. Restriping is going to be right around $2,300 or $2,400 to come in and restripe it. But when they come in and restripe this, it's going to have to be a little wider to cover what they've already done, and then that's going to play a role into,
it would make those courts not compliant, right?
Exactly, yeah. The tolerance is going to be out just a little bit. So if you ever wanted to have actual tournaments, you know, I don't know how in depth that they would get into something like that.
How many tennis courts do we have? 5?
Yes, sir, I think there's 5, 3 on the basketball court and 2 on the tennis court.
Right. How many are painted today?
There's 5.
All 5 are painted for pickleball?
Well, there's 1 tennis court that has 2 yes. pickleballs, and then the basketball court has 3 pickleball courts.
Oh, are they all painted for pickleball?
Yep.
So now we have no tennis courts that are...
Well, you have
1 tennis court.
Yeah, you have 1 tennis court that's...
That is...
Yes.
Not painted.
Not painted, yes.
Right. So it is just compliant for tennis tournaments.
Yes.
Have we ever had a USTA approved event ever?
When we had tennis classes, I don't know if we had...
they were sanctioned.
How much more wide will they be? Half an inch, an inch?
About half an inch. Quarter on each side.
That much.
Guys, I've been doing tennis court for 35 years.
Right.
It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
Right.
What okay? is?
That widens the line. You put the tape on the outside of the line, you paint it back.
There you go. Exactly.
I'm telling you, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yep.
I'm not disputing what you're saying.
Our public works only deals with what the contract
is. Oh, I know, but it's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
not worried about us having USTA.
No, I'm not worried.
Well, another thing is you got to consider the other colors also on, and I see where you're coming from, but this is going from the guy who does this, a reputable company. So,
I've dealt with people. I'm aware.
That was sketchy company.
Well, there's another company also out of Raleigh. I can't think of the name of it now.
Court One or somebody like
that. I'm sorry.
That's who I'm dealing with. Or
you're Court One, there's another called
Public
Court.
Resurfacing. Yeah. And they did a lot of the ones, well, they did all the ones up in Carolina Beach.
Right.
So it might be worthwhile.
But it was also dealing with the color. Not just the width of this. So
our colors are dark blue now. Is that it?
Dark. It looks more black.
And they are the company that put that color in, right? Did we select that color?
They recommended that color.
They recommended
because every U.S.
Correct. The tennis guy.
Okay. Comment, gentlemen.
I'm not worried about having a.
I'm not worried about the sanctions.
Tennis courts. And okay. I think the citizens will be fine with pickleball and tennis courts on there, from my perspective.
Okay.
So I'm in favor of it.
I'm in favor of it.
Okay, well then, do we have any other discussion?
No.
Do I have a motion?
What are we motioning?
To get it done. To repay the tennis court so they can see to play pickleball.
Second.
There you go.
All in favor.
Aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
To you and the 24 others who enjoy playing it. Thank you.
Sure, there'll be more.
Now there's plenty more.
Okay.
I'm going to start playing now.
Got to get my
beach body back.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear Nancy.
She's asking if the town will repaint them.
The town will repaint them.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, we're not going to allow our residents to repaint those. We are not. So we're going to do it. We'll do it appropriately. Even though we don't, we appreciate your offer.
Yeah, do you want a recommended color or, I mean, how are you going to establish that?
They recommended a color or...
Yeah, they said a couple of colors, orange, yellow, anything that's going to stand out. So...
It's supposed to be like tone on tone, which would be like a blue that you have on your shirt or something like that. But Carolina Beach has red. They use red. So,
does your group have a preferred color?
Yeah.
Is it recommended color?
No, sir.
Well, we would rather...
Yes, one that we can see.
I think that's a great point, right? From Nancy and Jimmy's trip. Jimmy doesn't want to come back picking the wrong color, so someone's going
to
pick out.
Why don't we get the colors that's available to us and let them pick which color
that's
they
what
want?
I'm saying, right?
Okay.
Can you show them how many colors did you get recommended, Jimmy?
Yes, I can, but not tonight.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Can you stop by Public Works and get with Jimmy to tell us the color?
Sure.
And then we don't want to hear you didn't like it.
any of the 24 who don't like that color...
Yeah.
We were sitting back in Carolina Beach.
Just so we're clear. Just so we're clear.
Next time you lose the match, we don't want to hear.
Thank you all.
You bet.
Thank you.
Item 3, approving the budget calendar.
Anybody have any travel issues?
Yeah, I guess we discussed it at the retreat.
Yeah.
And it was left open for the actual budget workshop sessions that I had proposed for April 6th and April 20th.
Yeah.
But it's also working around your travel schedules and availability.
I'll
be gone both of those days.
There's only one day in there. Oh, wait.
There's two workshops, the 6th and the 20th.
And typically we could get it done in two workshops, but there's been the rare occasion we needed a third one. So that's why I've left a little extra time between the last one scheduled here and the May 15th council meeting.
When will you be
When will you be back here, John? Oh, you're gone the whole month, baby?
No, I'll be back the 23rd. But...
What about the first one? You say you're gone for that one, too?
Yeah. The first two.
Oh, you're gone the first through the 23rd. Well, I guess you can call in. Or...
Well, I was going to ask if he puts out a draft with emails, I can review it and send it.
Right. Is a Monday better than a Friday?
I prefer the Friday because, I like the three-day weekend.
I like the three-day weekend, right?
I can deal with any particular day of the week, gentlemen. So I would. This is what we picked when we were in our first retreat. Is there? We can probably patch John in for a period of time if necessary. We can probably get the information to you because you'll have your computer. Therefore, do I have any recommended changes to this? Because this impacts the entire calendar.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I'm good with this schedule.
And I'll call in if I'm traveling. But Fridays, I'm with Joe. Fridays, I should be better on. So,
all right.
If I'm traveling, I'll call in for a while.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adopt the calendar?
Make a motion to adopt this proposal.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And the last item. Reschedule March and April meetings.
So meetings March the 20th.
Anybody have a problem with March 20th?
Well, a couple of guys were wanting to see that meeting.
That's right. Thank you.
Well,
so the 19th?
I thought it was the 22nd, though.
The
meeting starts up there on the
21st. Is it? I thought you were going to travel on the 20th.
Meeting starts on the 21st.
Yeah, I think we travel on the 20th.
Let's do it the 19th then.
Well, first make sure when you guys are traveling.
You're traveling on the 20th.
We'll try it on the 20th.
Try it on the
19th. How about the 19th?
Yeah, okay. We can do the 19th then. Monday the 19th. Does that work for everybody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we will move the March meeting until March 19th, Monday.
Okay. And the April one, what was the problem?
17th.
What's up with that one? Somebody said there was an issue. Oh, you're gone, correct?
Well, I'm not back until the
21st. So what if we made it the 24th so you can be there?
That'd be great.
Y'all were in somewhere the 23rd, 24th. That's the meeting in
Kill Devil Hills? Kill Devil Hills.
That's the meeting at Pine Knolls.
Pine Knolls, that's right. Well, it's very close.
Yeah.
That's March or April. We're in April now.
Sorry. Yeah. That April, that trip is April 23rd and 24th. It's a Monday and a Tuesday that you'll be gone.
So about the 26th?
Merle Fest.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
April 20th. If we're not going to be gone until April 23rd and 24th, what's wrong with the 17th?
John won't be back.
Oh, that's right. 17th, 23rd.
We're trying to make sure he can be here. Well, the
25th.
The 25th, fine. I just have to control travel that week.
I'll be gone the 25th through the 29th.
Oh, okay.
Okay, gentlemen.
Whatever. I've done my best. Y'all do whatever you want. I'll be there.
Well, the least impact is I'm the only one up through the 23rd.
What is the Monday after the 17th?
The 23rd.
Is that the 23rd?
That's when you're gone the 23rd.
Yeah. 23rd and 24th.
Okay. All right. Well, John, I think. All right, we're going to hold the 17th.
Okay.
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 So no change
to April, March 19th and April 17th. Moving on to new business. New business item one is the 434 South 4th Avenue text amendment. We have a recommendation, or we have a request from Ms. Linda Bretkel for a proposed text amendment to change the existing text on accessory buildings to accessory buildings shall meet the setback requirement of 5 feet and be in the rear yard not to exceed a height limit of 15 feet. I think John took the liberty to kind of rewrite that a little more consistent in accessory buildings shall be in the rear yard and shall not exceed one story with a height limit of 15 feet. Accessory buildings shall meet a minimum 5-foot setback from all property lines and shall be erected, reconstructed, or structurally altered in accordance with the building code. That's Ordinance 81903 is the suggested revision. We had the citizen come up and tell us her point of view. Do we have any discussion for her, questions for her, or statements or observations? We have a recommendation here from Planning and Zoning that we do not accept the text amendment for a variety of reasons.
And they are?
Let me go to that. The comment from building committee is it wouldn't be good for density, impervious coverage, etc. And
it's in number three. Adopting applicant's text amendments would reduce the required rear yard setback for all properties in the RA2 district, which would negatively impact runoff control, health, safety, firefighting, and free flow of air. See section 19.1 definition of setback, which is in our ordinance why setbacks are defined. Amending the rear setback in the RA2 district to 5 feet would therefore be inconsistent with the goal on land use compatibility set forth in part 3, section 2B of the land use plan, which provides
as follows. Curie's desires to ensure the future development will be consistent with the historic small-town nature of the community and will work to ensure that any uses of the land and water minimize negative environmental impacts and avoid risks to public health, safety, and welfare. They went on to say, the commission finds and draws council's attention to the fact there are accessory buildings in all the town zoning districts which are in violation of current setback requirements. So they did add that. And that was signed by Mr. Woodward.
Okay. Any other discussion?
May I say something?
Sure, Linda.
Moving my, leaving my building where it is, a small lot, is not endangering anybody. When the guy behind me, you know, has a two-story building, 2 feet from my fence, the space, a fire truck couldn't even get on either side of my yard or probably anybody's yard in Curie Beach. Now, the fire truck has been at my house recently for an emergency. There's very limited space on either side of my house due to the closeness of the houses. So I cannot for the life of me see why my building can't just stay right where it is. It's not endangering anybody. There's no problem with water runoff. None of that exists. And as John, who's the building inspector, pointed out, there are literally probably hundreds of buildings that don't meet the code. So
I don't think he said there were hundreds. He said in every section of town, there's probably a building that is not to code. But again, you know, those could have been grandfathered in. We don't know.
It's not correct. Well,
whatever.
Non-conforming.
Wrong term.
So they get to stay put, and then, you know, mine has to be moved when it's not hurting anybody. It's the farmer can pull up, and I have a brick house. They can pull up in front of my yard, take their hoses, and get to the back to. If there was a fire of any kind, I don't know what that involved. I just can't see what the real big deal of this is.
Well, ma'am, I think the big deal is the building inspector informed your builder of the code requirements and your builder knowingly violated them. And the building inspector's enforcing the ordinance. So at least in the
emails that I got. And had their permit to do the work.
They had the permit to do the work.
They got the permit about 75% completion.
Yeah.
And was told at that time the building needs to be moved.
Knew nothing. I mean, I'm just hire somebody to do what I asked them to do.
It's an issue between you and the builder then.
Yeah. So apparently, I have to move my building. Is that what you're saying?
We haven't decided anything yet.
We haven't.
Well, the council hasn't voted.
We haven't voted anything.
And then you have this lady and other people in Curie Beach that want to do things to improve their property, where the 10-foot setback is just will prevent them from doing so.
I'm not understanding though if there's buildings that are in, I forget what the word is,
non-conforming.
If they're allowed to stay there, that means that their house could just burn down, or they could stop the firemen from getting to other people's houses like that. If that building gets to stay, then that one building is blocking it for other people. So having that
Well, normally what occurs is if people don't request a permit and we're not aware of the construction prior to it being completed, and we become aware of it, the ordinance gets enforced. So there may be some places where we're not aware of it because there was no permit expected. You're actually taking the right. You haven't done anything. You're trying to explore what can you do. But at some point in time, it, like Linda, who does a lot for the community, by the way, I don't want to. She shouldn't be painted as anything other than a great volunteer for our community because she does a lot of work in the community center. Does appear to have an issue with. She did hire and contract with somebody who, I would say, I don't know who the contractor is, but I would say should know better. And I don't know if she'd have a case against her contractor or not.
Well, he's going to have to move it if that's what happens. My objection is the fact that what it's going to do to my backyard and how it's going to affect the value of my property, moving that building forward.
Because it'll be
if it moves forward 5 feet, it literally, our HVAC, my bedroom window's here, and the HVAC is right there, and then that building is going to be like here. So if anything goes wrong with the HVAC, you know, I don't know how a guy will get in there and repair it. Now, the only suggestion I can make is we have to go up 5 feet, then we're going to have to go in this direction with the building, which is very well constructed, anchored down for a hurricane and all that. So it's not going to be a burden on me. I'm not going to get out there and move the building. But aesthetically, what it's going to do to my backyard, you know, I'm not going to be happy about that.
So,
I was going to say, these types of ordinance decisions or compliance with a set of rules, and granted, this is very specific. However, you go get a guy or gal or a company to build a house on your property that you've owned for 50 years. Nothing's been there. You bought it as an investment. And he's got to build a house. And he's got to comply with a whole bunch of construction rules that he would not have had to comply with 50 years ago, or even 10 years ago. The R factor on the
insulation.
I was going to say asbestos, but we don't do even asbestos is an outlaw. The house that I lived in was asbestos. That's probably why I don't breathe too well. But those things occur through time and ordinances changes. We're not making everybody in town go back and redo their installation. The insurance industry doesn't make you pay a lot more because you have less fire protection because your home was built to a 1920s code as opposed to a 1940 code or a 1980 code. Codes change, and we don't make everybody go back and upgrade to the new code. Now, we'll tell you, I was in charge of a building for the United States Air Force way, way back, and we were going to make an addition to an existing building, and it turned out as long as we got those real close and opened the door out of this one to go into that one, only this building had to be built to the 1985 code in Missouri. But if we actually attached those two buildings, then you had to go through the old building if you were going to keep it and use it and bring it all up to code, because it now physically attached to the new building. But we didn't have to do that as long as they didn't attach. So, again, this is a little different. I understand that. But we should all realize that codes change and the history of when something was built and allowed to be built doesn't have to continue to be upgraded to the new situation.
I'm inside a house on the corner of South 4th Street and Avenue H. It's a two-story, new construction, beautiful house. It has, if you're facing the house, and I had pictures of that night, on the right-hand side there is a cinder block wall between this beautiful home and an older home on Avenue H. That house, the older home, and this concrete wall, probably in 18 inches between that house and that wall. So some building inspector somewhere or some contractor somewhere screwed up. To me, that's a dangerous situation.
Well, where the house was before the setbacks.
You're talking about the older house, right? The new house is not
the new house built his concrete brick wall within 18 inches.
Yeah, on his property line. Yeah. That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, whatever.
I mean, so I understand.
What you're saying, excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
What you're saying is that if you change it back to whenever it was, to 5 feet, that's some sort of endangerment and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Although many other people are in that situation, so they're in danger too, right?
What I'm saying is that the history of setbacks is based on public safety. The town of Curie Beach took a long time before they adopted setbacks doesn't change the fact that that's what they're for. And that a town, when it does ordinances, just like our ordinance, puts in the last part of their ordinance says, non-conforming structures are allowed to stay non-conforming.
And
I'm sure our attorney would say every other
danger of something.
And I'm sure every other attorney would say that's what they do when they make ordinances is non-conforming. If you got in before the rules were in, the town's not gonna knock down your property and have to pay you, because the way the town would enforce that is you would end up in a lawsuit and the town would have to pay your expenses to become conforming because you did it in accordance with whatever laws there were at the time. And so towns don't do that. What they do is they put in the end of their ordinances, and I can find the section if you need to see it, about non-conforming. And they say, if you're non-conforming before this occurred, you're allowed to stay non-conforming. That's what happens. Because we can't take all of the rest of our taxpayer dollars to defend ourselves and then pay people to change their property. But moving forward, towns are allowed to make ordinances and rules that we all have to follow, right? And just to be true, after I read that this was on the agenda, I went in my backyard and measured my back building to make sure that I was in compliance. Because if I wasn't, I was going to move it before this meeting. Because of the very reason of, if I'm going to make other people conform, I'm going to conform. So I took a tape measure out on Sunday when I got back and saw this was on and went out to the buildings in the back of my property and measured them just to make sure that before I ruled on this, I was in compliance. And I'm glad I was, because I would have had some people over help me move it yesterday afternoon if I had to.
Just a point of information. We are not sure that it wasn't always 10 foot. In fact, no. When I was talking to Charlie Allo, who was on one of the original committees of PNZ, he tells me it was 10 foot from the time he was on it, which goes back to the 70s.
Yeah, I don't know when it was. I think we got to find that.
It has never changed. It was 10 feet from the very beginning.
That's what he said.
What now, changed was the side.
Okay.
And so, so the other thing is, changed. Like you pointed out, building inspectors have a whole town to look over, and if people don't do what they should, which is apply for a permit, and the building inspector doesn't see it because it's a big town, then they get away with it, right? And that's not right either, and I understand your point.
No, it's not.
I'm not sure how council should address that, because your friend pointed out rightly so that if council takes tape measures and goes around and starts fining everyone that's in compliance, what's the town going to do then? So I don't know what the right answer is about that issue. I think the town's got to talk about it. Separately, your friend said she's going to go to PNZ, and I know you aren't really friends. So or maybe you are, I don't know. But she says she's going to PNZ to request a similar thing, right? And I think PNZ has a responsibility when citizens come to them to look at stuff and then make recommendations, right? And I'm interested to see what Carolina Beach's investigations were before they changed theirs. Because if they just changed it without thought, then they're foolish. But if there's good thought, I think that's something for the council to consider. But council has to make sure that they do thoughtful things. That's what council's job is. And, you know.
I do agree with you, Linda, about the person that you hired or the company. And I don't know how to solve that issue either. But when I purchased a home in Curie Beach, it was under construction, but I was the first one. And I expect, I mean, this is a certified builder on this island.
had many houses go up. The lot next to me, well, the lot on one side was a home. The lot on the other side of me was vacant. So 5 years go by, and I get a nice letter from the gentleman that has now purchased the lot beside me and said, John, your yard, your grass, two of your palm trees, and three of your bushes are 6 feet into my yard. And here attached is the survey. And now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the side of my house may be within the setback. What am I going to do? So I called Bill and said, you may have just purchased yourself a home because I'm going to be in non-compliance. Well, turned out the 5 foot on the side, I had about an extra foot and a half. But he did come out and move all these trees and bushes, and there used to be, if you face the house, two sections of fence, driveway, two little sections of fence, and then that lot. This side now only has one little section of fence. So it looks crazy. It's not in balance anymore. And I lost 5.5 feet of yard that I thought, I mean, I didn't lose it. It wasn't mine to begin with when you got the survey people out there. But the point is, you know, we all need to be aware of our builders. I think I should have to review the survey that my builder did and take these people to court and stuff. But it can be tricky.
Okay, do I have any other comments here? Are you ready to consider this?
Make a motion we back what planning and zoning did.
I'm sorry?
And deny the text amendment.
There's a motion to deny the text amendment. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Linda? John Batson will work with you on timing and on any assistance you may need, information, evidence of when your contractor required permits, whatever you may need for whatever action you decide to take.
I'll calm down.
Okay.
May I ask just a quick question?
Certainly.
In order for me to go to planning and zoning, I have to pay $350. To get this process started, isn't that right?
No, that's Board of Adjustments. That's Board of Adjustments.
Oh, I'm sorry. $75.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only $75.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
$75 is still a lot of money.
$150. Yeah.
I don't know.
If there isn't like any chance, like it's $100.
Yeah.
Could I just
talk with John about your individual case?
That's what I'm gathering.
Start with John. Get John's guidance.
He pretty much told me that it's no.
It's a waste of your money. You can see what I'm.
But what I'm looking at is Carolina Beach. They were able to do it, and I'm wondering if there's a chance, then I'll take a chance. But looking at your faces, I'm pretty much feeling like there's not a chance.
Well, so what I would say is, please forward what Carolina Beach, all the information you have on their change, because I'm interested.
Okay. We don't know exactly what your request is.
The same as mine.
Yeah,
She's going to build a building. You're going to build a building. You
since
build
put a pool
inside of that bank? Or just part of it? Or the
just part of it. Basically, the pool would be within the 10 feet, but then...
the deck of the pool?
The deck of the pool would be 5 feet.
And it would go all the way to your property line?
Yeah, the deck would go to the property line from the pool.
I would talk to John about what options do you have. Maybe if you use pervious pavers, since the pool is not in there, maybe if you use a pervious paver.
No, the pool would be with, if it changed to 5. I need that 5 feet for the pool.
Oh, you need the 5 feet for the pool.
Yeah.
So if y'all are going to let her build a pool, I'll go back.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
So that was the process. We're not letting anyone do anything.
Yeah.
And the process is pretty clear, right?
Yep.
But
so we can't answer
separately,
it, actually.
Please forward us the information you gave us, a hard copy, or Nancy will copy it in. And yeah, if you have timing on when they change, I'm just interested from... We don't follow Carolina Beach, but we try to pay attention to what they're doing, right? Because our citizens are selling the same property as Carolina Beach citizens, so if they're making their property more attractive, council should look at that and understand it. But if they didn't did it without any thought, like some other things they've done, okay. But if they've got great reasons, I want to see what they are. I'm interested.
I have a friend on P&Z and CB. I can reach out to him.
Yeah, so
and get some history.
Find out if you would. But my suggestion would be talk to John, and then you decide if you want to roll the dice. Okay.
And is there a way, is the email for the town on WhatsApp?
You can yes. Email it to John Batson and then just have him broadcast it out.
Okay. But our emails are on the website.
Yeah.
Yep. There. Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Underground feed.
Yep. No. We have a text amendment, another text amendment, not to do with setback, but to do with the
Bud and Joe's
open air request. Bud and Joe's open air request is the existing text. No open-air bars and taverns or bars and taverns on rooftops shall be allowed or public access permitted to any open-air decks or rooftops from any bar and or tavern. That's a mouthful. The proposed text change is no open-air bars and taverns or bars and taverns on rooftops shall be allowed or public access permitted to any rooftops from any bar and or tavern. Public access is permitted to any enclosed open air deck or patio extending directly from any bar and or tavern. We have two outside bars right now, right? We have Big Daddy's.
Well, they're restaurants.
Well, that's right. They're restaurants.
They serve food.
That's
right. The deck at that is Jack Mackerel's is okay because they serve food. Big Daddy's is fine because they serve food.
Yes.
No food at the establishment. That's why they're looking for the text amendment.
Okay. So the text amendment changes whether or not you're a restaurant.
It allows you to.
It would allow you to not be a restaurant and have public access
outside, yeah.
From the bar, not outside of the bar.
No.
Do we have a recommendation from we don't.
The police chief.
The police chief is okay with it. If there's no alcohol outside after 11 and a more permanent structure defends it all.
Well, this text amendment doesn't say after 11,
I know,
right?
But that's what he wanted me to bring up.
Yeah, his concerns are listed here. Hours of the patio. Recommendation to close at 11. How big will the patio be? Can the patio be expanded after approval from council? That's a fair question. What type of barrier separates the public from the patio? Will there be an employee on the patio? Patrons tend to wander in parking lots with drinks. What effect will patio noise have on the oceanfront park, weddings and concerts, and will outdoor lighting be required? I think those are very valid questions, and we should address these.
Yeah.
Mr. Ritchie is here.
Excellent.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
It's nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
What's your opinion on some of the concerns you brought up?
And I understand. Let me kind of explain what the reason is for this outdoor patio. We have patrons that like to go outside and smoke. Right on the sidewalk, and what we're trying to do is incentivize our patrons to go to what we consider the smoking section.
Right. Yep.
And in order to incentivize them to do that, I mean, because we have no way of telling them they can't go out front and smoke, but to try to get them to do that, they're allowed to take their drink out there and sit and smoke and mm-hmm. within an enclosed area. I understand the concerns, but that's our main reason for doing this. To keep that sidewalk that's in front of Bud and Joe's cleared from smokers and mm-hmm. patrons and so on and so forth, put them to the side, corral them in basically, and, mm-hmm. and let them have a cigarette, because they will have a cigarette, that's what they do, mm-hmm. and let them have a drink or a beer out there. And like I said, that's the incentive for them to go in this direction instead of that direction. Mm-hmm. And that was the idea behind it. I understand where they, we can have some type of gate system. I can build it a little more, I guess, permanent. You know, instead of just because I'm sure you've seen it. I don't have pictures.
No, I didn't think about that.
But we could do something a little bit more permanent. We would like to. We wouldn't want to expand it any further than that. We only have a certain amount of space there, anyways.
You can only go so deep in the mics.
Right. No, I don't want to. What we did was we took one of our parking places that we had and expanded it out and did that. And we are compliant with ABC and ALE on their rules of how it's set up. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the door on the side. If I'm standing in the parking lot in the roped off area. Mm-hmm. There's a door there in the side of your building.
Yes.
Is that access into the...
Yes, that's access into the bar, and that's how it is.
So if you built more permanent where people, if they came out the front, would have to walk down the sidewalk around to come back into basically where that door area is.
Right.
Then that would kind of really make it easier for them to use the door to come in and out onto a patio without...
Right.
Because I want them walking out on the street with their feet.
No, and it happens, and that's my pride. That's right. What we're trying to do.
Yep.
We say we have signs posted that says no alcohol outside,
yep.
And we'll have it every once in a while. And I don't, like I said, it's all about incentive. You have a place to where you can go outside to where you don't have to take your beer out there. This is a designated spot, mm-hmm. And that's what we're hoping to do. And that way it clears that whole area, or at least most of it anyways. I would say, I'm sure somebody's going to still go out there and smoke. My point is at least we won't have 5, 6, 7 people out there, families walking through and so on and so forth. And that's just the idea behind it.
Do you have light out there?
We do have some lighting out there. It's not, there's no parking lot lighting, but yeah. Lighting can be done. I have some light. You can see. It's fine. Okay. It's not any danger.
Yeah, I thought you have it like under your eaves there.
Yeah, there's a light pole.
Light by the stairs would be good.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a light by the stairs.
Okay. I haven't been in since all this started.
So, do you have any food preparation?
All we have is we have popcorn.
You can have anything you want as long as it's popcorn.
You can get anything you want delivered there.
And you can't have anything. We do suggest, and we do have menus there for people to order in. And we do allow that as no problem. We actually encourage it, to be honest.
So wouldn't it be easier just to call it Bud and Joe's restaurant?
Well, I know, because you have to sell. In order to be a restaurant, you have to sell.
You have to have a certain dollar amount of sales.
30%.
And you're going to have to comply with the significant kitchen.
That's right.
I only wish.
Microwave or cooler for pizza.
So who wrote the... The proposed text, was that from...
I think John helped you with it, or did you have a lawyer?
John helped me with it. I asked John, and I let him look at it, and he said that he would, if you guys approved it, this would be no problem with him. And then he would sign off on the only thing that we have to have for ABC approval, which, like I said, ALE's already came out, looked at it, mm-hmm. said, this is fine, but I need to have zoning, and then a drop. That's it.
Okay.
So, and he said I would sign off on zoning for it.
Did ALE require anything more?
No, just
fencing. I'm more about a permanent.
No, I would love to do that. To tell you the truth, I want it a lot nicer. Obviously, to fall in line with whatever John says we have to use, because we're in a fire district, so there's mm-hmm. a certain amount of wood, for burn rate and so on and so forth, which we would do with absolutely no problem. I want to make it a little nicer. I don't want to expand it. I just want to make it, because I don't like the rope. I want it to look nice. And we're planning on doing some other renovations with Bud and Joe's and so on and so forth later on down the road. So
yeah.
We want to make it look a little nicer.
Okay. The recommendation is for 11 p.m. How do you feel about that?
I'll be honest with you. I'm not happy. I'm not, but I don't think it really makes that much of a difference to me. It's not like...
How late are you open?
I don't think
we're open until 2 a.m. If they're going to be there at 10, I don't think at 1 it's any different, to be honest with you. Plus, we slow down a lot. Our main business is really...
Well, how would you keep them out of there? Anyway, you'd have to lock that back door.
And I'm not...
That'd probably be a fire hazard.
That's what I'm saying.
When I spoke with the chief, he said that as long as the noise
wasn't,
right,
you know, a problem after 11 p.m., then he didn't tell me that it should be closed at 11. He just said as long as the noise wasn't a problem.
The area won't be closed, but just no alcohol outside after 11, from what I understand.
So he doesn't want the area closed, he just wants no alcohol outside.
People can still go outside and smoke, but just no alcohol, because if you know, people still drinking at 12:30, getting rowdy, people down here for the weekend, mm-hmm, we all know that happens.
Well, I mean, we have a noise ordinance, so that one. One, okay. I appreciate you trying to get the smokers off the sidewalk, honestly. So I'm pretty supportive, just because why you're trying to do it is the right thing to do, right? Because, I mean, I leave wherever I'm going downtown and can see them while they're smoking. I know no one likes that, except even the smokers don't totally like it.
Yeah.
Because everyone's giving them the dead eye, right? So, but I do think that I'm concerned a little bit with the text, in that once we approve it, if Mike gives them more space, they can expand it. So I'm a little concerned about size, right?
That's why I brought up a special use permit, but it looks like we can't do it.
Add that in. Well, you could add it in, potentially, as it can only be this many square feet. So you could control that in there. And then the chief's concerned about 11 p.m. We have noise ordinances, so he can go shut the whole place down. Because his officer can show up and say, if you guys don't stop, the whole place is closing, and that puts it back on you guys, yes, of making, mm-hmm, them shut up, right?
Yes.
So, I mean,
which we already have to do anyway sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're not out there drinking.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
I hope and of course, the adequate signage.
All right. You guys know that there's a lot different clientele that come to Joe's these days, and everybody tries to, you know.
Yeah. But, so I think,
pretty upscale, one of our council members.
That could be good or bad.
More than one goes there.
Yeah, more than one goes there. Yeah, so I was just in on
Saturday. I've never seen any of them.
I think the other issue, which is a really good one, so to read all of them, right? So the hours, his recommendation is 11 p.m., but I understand his point, right? How big will it be? I think we can write that in. Square footage?
Maintain the same size.
What type of barrier separates the public from the patio? You're already talking about having some type of barrier, which you answered that question.
How rapidly would you have that up?
I'll get it pretty fast. Let's set a day.
Actually, it's not all the, they can make it as tall as they want it because it's internal to a property.
But I wouldn't
make it.
No, we want to make it. Aesthetically, we want to make it very nice.
Yeah, so they don't jump, right?
Right.
His other question, will there be an employee on the patio, because patrons tend to wander in the parking lot with drinks, which is fair. I don't know that you need an employee, but if you made it
signage,
that's what I was going to bring up with signage. You know, clearly define what's going on,
the
purpose,
area,
intent.
And then outdoor lighting, we talked about. The last one we haven't talked about is the patio noise on the oceanfront park during weddings and concerts.
Well, that would be probably their future piece that you'd have to work about. I don't think there'd be too much impact.
So that's the only one that I'm interested in your thoughts on, right? Because I don't know how we write that in necessarily, but I think if there's a huge party on your patio at the same time someone's having a wedding, that's not good, right?
Okay. I don't think there's going to be a huge party. We're not going to. We have had some things that we've done on the ocean. Oh, in the future?
No, not on the future, right now.
No, we're on the back side of that.
Yeah. I know, but if it's loud enough and there's a wedding out there, you would hear it.
But people technically could go hang out there. I mean, the phone's inside the bar.
Yeah. It's more just to go out and have a beer.
Okay.
If you look at the space that we even have in the way I'll keep it, with the picnic tables and so on and so forth, the seating, it's not like a party. Right. Atmosphere. I'm not trying to create this. I'm just trying to create an area for them to get off that sidewalk.
No, I would say that, frankly, I think you're going to have decent seating out there, so people are going to take their beer. They're going to sit there. They're going to chat. They might get a little loud. Exactly. We're going to ask you to police that to some extent.
Right.
I mean, what I got from all this is that if they want to text amendment, we should have something in about the feet, about the current size, that there should be adequate light, and that should be at the discretion of the compliance officer to take
adequate
a look at what the adequate light would be. That's John Bass.
John Bass. Okay, John.
Right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Been working.
No, I've been working with him.
And that any barrier that you're recommending needs to be approved by the compliance officer, John Babson. And I mean, I don't know if there were other points that we were going to address, but I think that pretty much covered the chief's concerns, because we're going to use the noise ordinance.
Right? Yeah, that's what I would think.
So, I mean, other than the way it's written, find square feet, adequate light as determined by compliance officer, and the barrier, a new barrier to be approved by the compliance officer.
And signage.
Oh, and signage on the area.
Lighting, right. And signage.
And signage for to stay in the area if you're drinking, right. I think you already have a sign in the bar that says don't drink out here.
Right,
or whatever.
Exactly.
That.
Yeah, we'll create the verbiage for that.
Okay.
It's very specific and they'll understand it.
Okay. Are you okay with those conditions?
Yes. Yeah.
So do we want, so we're allowed to do this, but do we want to do this without a public hearing?
We don't need one.
No.
We
I know, it's not required. I'm just asking council. So we have a proposed text amendment, but I would propose we change it. Do you know how many square feet you have now?
I would 20.
Probably about 200.
200
square feet. It's probably 10 by 20.
10 by 20?
10 by 20, yeah.
So if we put 200 square feet in there, that would be what you got.
Yeah, that would be fine, because it's actually 13 feet from the building, because we have that, there's the pylon on the drop-off, so if I could say 250, and I wouldn't make it any, I'm not going any further than what I'm doing.
Okay,
I mean.
250?
Is that fair?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We're
I have that pylon there, and that's the
right.
only reason
no,
why
I
said that.
So, citizens that are in the audience, since you're the representative for the town, right, you hopefully have been listening to this. What are your thoughts on allowing a 250 square foot site to the west of Bud and Joe's with fencing for tables so that smokers are off the sidewalk on K Avenue?
And
adequate
light.
Okay, you guys are representing the whole town now, right? I mean, we are.
I'm for it. I'm in the whole court.
We know you three guys are.
God, I love that idea.
Yeah, I know where you three are.
That's awesome.
Is that a discounted beer?
Yeah, well, I'll let you guys work that out.
Yeah, you work that out otherwise.
So,
how does the change in this ordinance relate to future requests?
What we're doing is we allow restaurants to do this today. This would be the first time we allow outside
in a bar slash tavern
in a bar slash without serving food. So the future is that others could request the same thing.
And they'd be restricted by the same, for instance, size requirements. Area.
If we were running in that,
we would have
exactly
to.
Right.
We would have to look.
Well,
at
that's why I'm trying to work out what I would propose to change. Right? So I wanted to address the police chief's concerns as best I could. Because his concern was a great one, because there's plenty of land there. Mike Robertson said, okay, you can have the rest of this lot. If we don't lock it in, then the whole lot could be like that.
He'll take his business spot.
I'm just saying he could.
He could, and you're exactly
right.
And that's why, that's exactly right.
And it's not changing the ordinance. It's specifically allowing them to do this based on these considerations.
I guess my only, as a citizen, you've raised the issue about noise. And
yes.
I know there's a noise.
The barriers.
But you are right at the oceanfront parcel.
Yes.
There's very noisy.
There's Wiggly Riddles across the street.
You're right.
There's a hotel beside it.
Yeah.
There's actually a hotel. Yeah.
And the pier.
Yeah.
And the pier. And the fishermen.
Cool. The pier and the fishermen.
Mike Robertson.
It would actually be hard for him to be louder than the others.
Commissioners, it's the late night noise,
yes.
Not the...
Right.
I get it.
Right.
Not daytime.
We get it.
Mm-hmm. Not daytime.
Yeah.
Yep. We get it.
That's all.
Well, I think that's right. And I think the great thing about our noise ordinances is that if enough citizens complain, the police show up. And then the great thing, this is a business, not a home, where homes people sometimes blow it off, but businesses typically comply because being shut down costs you a lot more than telling two guys to shut up.
Right. Exactly.
And if
what started us going around trying to smoke in the back of Chief Cooper asked us years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't mind if his family's walked through there.
No.
Yeah.
So
I support why. I support your wife.
Okay.
All right.
So, you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I think we should make a motion.
Okay. I make a motion for the text amendment changes to read as follows. No open-air bars in taverns or bars and taverns on rooftops shall be allowed or public access permitted to any rooftops from any bar and or tavern. Public access is permitted to any enclosed open-air deck or patio not to exceed 250 square feet extending directly from any bar and or tavern.
Adequate, you want to mention about light?
Well, I think the building inspector will require that.
Okay, all right.
Because lighting is a safety issue.
Yeah.
And so because of the drop-off, the building inspector can require safe okay. lighting.
All right.
The only thing is I want to make sure, you've seen it, and maybe you're better at measurements than I am, but I know it's 13 feet off the wall.
The side of the building.
Yeah, off the side of the building. And it's
probably 2 feet of that is the gap.
Yeah.
No, but that counts.
So
it'll count.
But that's what 20 feet. That's what I'm just wanting to make sure of because I'm a little scared because I don't want to do that and then I have to. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
I have to get it to the.
Why don't you? Why don't you measure it and give us the size?
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah, we will. We will adjust it for whatever the existing
structure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I just don't want it to grow any bigger.
Right? No, I understand.
By building inspector.
Yeah.
I understand.
Well, no, I mean, I just think that we should help our building inspector out by giving him specific guidance. Because mm-hmm. then he gets pressured and everyone's mad, right?
Would you be willing to make it a larger, not to exceed 400 feet or more?
It can't be over 300 feet.
I know.
Not to exceed
400. No, it's nowhere near. It's nowhere near
300. I'm fine with that. Like you guys are fine with that.
Okay. Thank you. And that would give me plenty. And I would.
So do you want me to change my motion?
Yeah.
Not to exceed 300 square feet. Not to exceed 300 square feet.
Right. Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
So the building inspector will be up with you when he gets back.
Yep.
He can fix all the other.
He'll be back Thursday, I think.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
300 square feet.
Yeah, I'll ride with him.
Oh, there you go.
Request to bury the electric cable. Okay. Now, we've gone through this quite a bit. I think that we are in agreement, folks, on the allowing this cable to be buried since it would be consistent with the rest of downtown, with two exceptions. Adequate marking so that there's no hurt involved if we have to go in there and do something on that access. And second, if the power company is required to tear up that access after we put it in, that is on the power company and the owner and not on the town. Was there any questions about this particular item?
I have a question on it. Do we need some type of a written agreement or?
Well, I think we will. I think we'll approve it under those two stipulations. If you're okay with those two stipulations.
I'm good with that.
Any other comment? No stipulations or any other stipulations?
I think those are the right two, right?
Okay. Then may I have an amendment?
I make a motion that we approve burying the underground utility across J, right? Is it J?
Yeah.
J Avenue access with the homeowner to be informed by the town that if it's required to be dug up for maintenance or any other reasons, the homeowner or the utility is responsible for repairing the access.
And I imagine the marking it, it's going to be marked by somebody on one of the locations. So,
yeah.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And the...
And it would be nice if they buried all the rest of them and all the access.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
You get a bunch of wires down.
And then the final new business item is on the ad hoc committee policy for the bicycle committee.
representative to the Metropolitan Group. So, do I have any discussion on that point? I know John has already...
Well, we'll get around it
yep.
at the retreat.
Do I have any particular motion on that?
Yeah, I make a motion to make an exception for this appointment to allow a property owner who's not a full-time resident to serve on this specific committee, since we have no other applicants.
Okay.
Second.
Before I ask for a second, I just want to mention during discussion, are there any citizens here who would like to serve on the bicycle, what is the name of that committee? Bicycle Pedestrian Committee for the county and represent Cherry Beach. Okay, I will not accept a second. I'm sorry, Nancy.
I just want to clarify, are you amending the policy or are you exempting the policy for this one appointment?
This one appointment.
Yes, for this one appointment.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so be. Okay. Mayor updates. I don't have any at this point. I think we've covered things ad infinitum tonight. Any commissioner items?
I just wanted to talk about the parking meeting we had last night.
Okay.
Craig, me, Chief Bowden, Ken Richardson from P&Z were there. James Eldridge was there because it's being done under planning and zoning. He has a list of ordinances that he is going to tighten up. We will not, as we stated, do paid parking this year. We're going to try to tighten up the ordinances, get rid of some ones that are kind of silly, and also define some parking on Fort Fisher. Driving down here tonight, I passed 14 parking areas where it's just a huge, wide open area.
Yeah.
And we need to mark those off. I'll have more details. We may end up having to push the elder said it may take him some time, so this may end up getting, the P&Z meetings may get staggered back a little bit while he tries to get all this done, of course, in relation with his other work. So we can be kind of aggressive with this, bring this to council in April, and then if we have to have a public hearing, we have that public hearing in May, and then any changes will go into effect for the summer season.
We have considered a variety of inputs.
Yeah. A lot of discussion.
Including your input spill on that 50 foot and so forth. So everything's getting due consideration, everything we have. So I just wanted to thank you for your the courtesy of providing ideas. And if anybody else has ideas on parking, we're certainly open to receiving them.
I will mention to those citizens that are here that are not on the staff somewhere, if you're interested in this issue and plan to attend the March P&Z, it's been moved officially already to the 12th instead of the 7th. So follow the updates and emails and town news.
Okay. No closed session is required. Therefore, I have a motion?
I've got one last thing. I think we all saw the progress today, but my plans down the road each month are to give y'all an update of the construction project, any issues, any nightmares. But as you saw today, and thank everybody for coming out today, we've got a good contractor and a good project going. So I'll be giving those just impromptu on then, you know, each month.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't ask you for that. Anything else?
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Let's
go on. Gosh.
Battery worked pretty good.
We're going to get some massive calls tonight.